Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What does this mean? God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving. What is meant by daily bread? Daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, home, land, animals, money, goods, a devout husband or wife, devout children, devout workers, devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, discipline, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. This is found in Luther's Small Catechism, and it reminds us that God is the giver of everything that we need. He gives us this day and every day our daily bread. Your Father in heaven loves you so completely that he knows exactly what you need. Sometimes we get distracted by our wants and our desires. We begin to grumble when God does not give us those things. We should not follow the example of his Old Testament people time and time again. But when we pray, we know that God hears us. God knows everything you need before you even ask for it. Jesus says to the people present, "If you who are wicked will not give a viper to your son, how much more can you expect from your heavenly Father? Who is perfect. God is good and knows exactly what we need." God has created all things. Our Father loves us and his creation. And unfortunately, sin has corrupted it. The fruit does not yield as it once did. The crops must be toiled over in order to grow. God has cast judgment against Adam, not just on Adam and Eve and us, but on all of creation. And yet he still gives everything that we need, even to all evil people. Your God loves you. He knows all things. Luther gives us examples of this daily bread. You see, it's not just bread. It's not just the grain that we would eat. But it's all of these things. Because he gives food, but also drink, clothing, shoes. Everything that you put on in the morning was a gift from him. We should pause. We should give thanks to him for that gift. It's not because of our own doing that our Father has given these things. Because he has created in you an ability to work. Ability that you use to bring in the money necessary to have these things. But it's all a gift from him. We are merely stewards of God's gifts. When we think about the land that we have, the home that we have, the fact that we have shelter, the fact that we can have warmth, again, these are gifts from God. A husband or wife. Too often, I think we think that we've won these things for ourselves, rather than actually believing that it is God who gives us a spouse. That it is God who places into our lives the man or the woman whom he has given us. Do we forget this? Do we simply go out looking left and right as though God is not the giver of every good gift? Because he is. He gives us devout and faithful rulers, good government, good weather. And while I have not understood how any of the weather has worked this spring, and winter. How it could possibly jump 20 degrees from day to day, I don't understand it, but I do trust that God knows all things. And I do trust that God works together all things for the good of those who love him. And he does that for you because he loves you. He also gives discipline, honor, peace, health, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. Jesus is the bread from heaven. In our Old Testament lesson, the people cry out against Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron remind them that they are actually crying out against God, and yet God hears them and he delivers them and he gives them food. He sends manna from heaven, that every morning when they would wake up, they would have food right there, that they would collect everything that they need every single day. God provided for them, and they grumble. God sustains us too. Notice one of the things given in our Old Testament lesson, that they are to collect a double portion on the sixth day. That is because they are not to do work on the seventh day, on that Sabbath day. Rather, they are to rest in the Lord. And so what does God do? He gives them a double portion the day before that they may find their rest in him. Too often we abuse that day of rest. Too often we neglect to worship God as he calls us to. Because we forget that God has given us everything that we need. Sometimes we feel like we have to work Sunday morning, that we are just too busy. Too busy for God, the one who has created you, the one who has created this entire universe and placed you on it and gives you everything that you need to support your body and life. Think about what that actually means. Think about what that says. All of it is from him because he loves you. God gave this manna, but the people would still die because manna, while it fed the stomach, cannot truly feed the soul. And so Jesus, in our gospel lesson, gives them food, bread. It's a miracle. You have over 5,000 people because it's 5,000 men plus women and children present. They have come out to hear Jesus preach and teach. God in the flesh is riveting. He knows all things and his rhetoric is blessed. He draws all people to himself. It had gotten late and he knew that the people needed food. How would Jesus know such a thing? Because he's God. He knows all things. He knows when you are hungry and when you need to be fed. And so he tells the disciples to make the people sit down. He says, what do we have to feed all these people? We don't have enough money. Okay, well, what else do we have? Well, there's a boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. How on earth would 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish feed over 5,000 people? Even if we had all of this money to go into town, the baker certainly cannot whip up quickly enough food for this many people. What are we going to do, Jesus? Jesus knew exactly what he would do. And so after he has his disciples sit the people down, he comes out, he takes the bread, he takes the fish, and he gives thanks to his Father. Before we eat, we should pause to give thanks to him for feeding us. Now, I know that many people actually do have that practice. Now, that is very common. But it is easily dropped, especially when we are out in public or when we are going through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Do you still find time, not while driving, but maybe parking, to give thanks to God for your food before you eat? Has he not given you that food that's in front of you in your car, just as he does if he sets it on the dining room table? Because he does. And then we should return thanks afterward. This was much easier when we used to have family meals. something that if you have gotten away from, you should strive to return to. That when your family sits down together around that table and begins by giving thanks to God for all that He has given you, you actually get perspective. You have a family around a table provided by God, food provided by God, a family provided by God. All of these things are from His hand. Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feeds all of these people to the full. So much is given that He sends His disciples to take each basket, and all 12 come back with a full basket of leftovers. This is how much our God sees the need and provides for it. As He provided manna in the wilderness, so here He provides bread. But this bread, the bread that these people begin to worship, the bread that makes these people want to make Jesus their earthly king, will also fade away. We need the living bread, the living bread from heaven. Later in John chapter 6, the same chapter that we get our gospel lesson from today, Jesus will speak of this living bread. For He will say that I give of my body for you to eat. I give of my blood for you to drink. There is a spiritual meal that God lays out before us this day. The supper of the Lord. Where this bread and this wine is much more than simple bread and wine that simply fills the stomach. But it is a life-giving bread. A life-giving wine. In our gospel lesson, Jesus is not giving them the Lord's Supper. There is no wine present. But in church today, He does. Instituted by Him on that first Maundy Thursday, He calls His Christians to gather and to receive what His Son has won for you, that His body and His body given for you, His blood shed for you, may be received by you, that you may walk the words out into our community, that you may be one in mind with Christ, that you may be filled with this joy. We receive the Lord's Supper often because we need what He offers through it. We can't make it through this life without Him, especially when we recognize that all these things are from His hand. And so rejoice this day that your Father loves you so much that He has given you more than just daily bread to sustain your body and life. But He has given you living bread from heaven. That He has sent His only begotten Son into our flesh to suffer the death of the cross for you, for me, and for all creation. This Jesus is truly King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. And when He returns, all knees will bow, all tongues will confess, and we will be with Him for eternity. Believe in this and live forever. The church sings. Satan, I defy thee. Death, I now decry thee. Fear, I bid thee cease. World, thou shalt not harm me, nor thy threats alarm me, while I sing of peace. God's great power guards every hour. Earth and all its depths adore Him. Silent, bow before Him. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.